Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
With the New York Football Giants, there are some positives here, not just in that game on Sunday, obviously, with the big, three quarters that they had, the big lead going into the fourth quarter, but just spinning it forward, BT, we've talked about this a little bit. You know, these two games at Denver, at Philadelphia, whether it was before the season started, whether it was after Jackson Dart took over as the starter, whether it was leading right up until the game last week. Those two games, to me, were a very difficult back-to-back, and we said that they just need to get at least one to still have a season. So I know at 2-5, it's not great, and it's not looking likely about a postseason berth. However, if they could figure out a way to get a win here against Philadelphia, and I know it's not going to be easy, and it's Tuesday, so we still got ways to go before you have the gut feel, really, of what's going to happen with this team. But anything is possible. That stands true. Even in the loss on Sunday, Jackson Dart showed that. Anything's possible. And if they win this game, I do think the Giants can still make a run and be a postseason team.
They can hang around. Listen, here's the thing for me. I think anytime you get an unexpected surge. Like, of course, when Jackson Dart took the field, Giant fans were pumped up. And then you beat two good teams. And then, as we do as fans, we get out in front of our skis a little bit. We did it with Tom Thibodeau back in 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, the Knicks are back. And maybe that was the early signs, for sure, of the Knicks coming back. But that was quickly thwarted by the Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks here. I think from a micro perspective, it's obviously going to be very hard to make the playoffs. And I'm with you. I'm not saying they can't beat the Eagles, but you look at the schedule, the Niners, it's daunting. It's going to be very hard. But from a macro, from a bigger, a view or snapshot for me, I'm buying the Giants as a stock. There's so many things I love. It seems like their entire culture is flipping. Their energy is high. And that all comes to the quarterback. Now, again, when you talk about this, you talk about Dart, you talk about the future, you talk about the Giants in totality, it always goes back to, is Dable going to be? I almost don't even want to do that now.
But that's going to be that is going to be a big part of it the rest of the year.
Indisputable, right. No doubt. And if the optics aren't pretty and the Giants, just start getting mopped by these really good teams, which I don't think that they will, but if they do, then that is a real obvious discussion. And even if they play okay and they lose most of the games, Dable could still be gone. The only reason I say I don't even want to get into that now, or at least, as the main central topic today, at least pertaining to this discussion, is because to me that overshadows the good.
Right.
And they got their quarterback. The entire team loves him. They follow him. He emits energy. He's got incredible talent. So I'm kind of getting hit from every direction. Like, I don't love Dable. I don't love the DC, but I love the quarterback, and I do believe in the future of the Giants.
It's hard for me to let go. First of all, I have an issue with letting go in the past to begin with, but it's hard for me to let go of what happened in week two, and then it happened again last week against Denver. But I could make a legitimate case that what happened the first three quarters is more, I don't even want to say impressive, more meaningful moving forward, because if it didn't happen in week two, what we would normally be saying is, yeah, but that's a game that they won't blow the next time. It's a young quarterback.
They'll learn from it.
It was a horrible blown lead, whatever, but there's no way that that's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. The only problem is that it happened in week two, so it did happen again. So outside of that, though, I think there was a lot more good than bad in Denver. It is more impressive. Like, I didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't think Jackson Dart and the Giants were going to go in there and look as good as they did for the majority of that game in a what I thought a very difficult spot against the best defense in the NFL, in my opinion, one of the better teams in the AFC, if not the best team, certainly outside of the Chiefs in the AFC. And again, this is my thought. So if they go in there and look as dominant as they did through the first three quarters, I'm impressed. Even with the result being the loss and the way that it went down, I'm still impressed and encouraged that, okay, it's a loss, it's brutal, it potentially kills the playoff chances because you have five losses through 7 weeks, like you do the math, especially with their schedule. However, I am not ready to put the nail in the Giants' coffin just yet. That would come if they lose to Philly on Sunday, but this is still a huge game. Not as big as it would have been had they won. This is still a huge game, BT, and I think they have as good a chance to win as anybody else.
Yeah, I think that they've earned that respect. I really do. I think when you look at teams and seasons and try to piece things together, a lot of times we almost get fooled into, well, you know, maybe they could do this. It's more out of hope rather than the reality of what they presented us, because we, especially with football, where we've been so desperate for the Jets and the Giants to get their act together, the first little crumb, you're like, all right, yeah, I'm all in. Here we go. And again, that's why I use the term getting over our skis. We probably did that a little bit here. I don't know if this is the right way, the wrong way, a good way, a bad way, a stupid way, a smart way. I don't know what way this is to look at it, but in some way, don't you think the 19-0 lead over the first three quarters of the game, in a lot of ways, is it? I know this one's going to sound dumb. Overshadows the meltdown loss. You get the loss, and it very well could be a season crusher. But the three quarters, like, the Giants did so many good things. It wasn't a mirage. It wasn't fool's gold. They didn't have a trick play. They didn't jump. Like, it wasn't like Denver was besieged with injuries. They went onto that field for the first 45 minutes of the game, and they punked a really good team with a really good coach. And while they lost, that's got to mean something big picture. It's got to.
Yeah, and really their record is 2-2 with Jackson Dart as a starting quarterback. And you could argue that it should be better. It certainly should have been better. I'm not even giving them the Saints loss. Like, that was a bad loss. Rookie mistakes left and right with Scadaboo, with Jackson Dart. That happens. They should have won this game on Sunday. So if you look at it overall, we said this after the Eagles' victory, that they pounded the Eagles on Thursday night. Like, to me, the same old Giants, the idea that the Giants were, you know, one of the worst teams, and just going into each week like, ah, oh, man, they're going to get pounded, that was put to bed Thursday night against the Philadelphia Eagles. I still had doubts against Denver only because I thought Denver was that good, and I still believe Denver is that good, which to me then should elevate the Giants even further. And I look at the landscape of the NFC. You look at the landscape of the NFL, but let's just stick to the NFC. I mean, I'll say the same thing. I think that the Lions are good. Probably the best team. Yeah, Seahawks good, Niners good, Bucks fine, but like Eagles good. Like, no, to me, none of those teams are that much better. Maybe outside of the Lions are that much better than the Giants. And even the Lions, who the hell knows? Like, they could be inconsistent at times as well. So with Jackson Dart under center, with Burns, who's been one of the best defensive players in the league, period. Like, not just a standout for the Giants or in the NFC East. He's been one of the best defensive players in the league, period. They have a defense that's ready to win now. They have a quarterback that's taken this team to new levels. If they win this game on Sunday, then I do think, like, 3-5, you're right there with a chance. Now, again, going to be difficult, but a chance to be still have a relevant season as far as the results go this year.
And by the way, relevance, let's define relevance pertaining to this team at where they are in this stage of their development. For a team like the Lions, you know, who wasn't too far away from the Super Bowl a year ago, you know, their curve or their scoreboard is different from what the Giants should be, because the Giants are just starting. So to me, when you say that the Giants have a chance to be relevant the entire year, I agree. But for me, my definition for this team would be getting into December 1st with a, again, unrealistic, but still a mathematical puncher's chance to do something with a wild card. Like, to me, that is a relevance, because now when you have a tone that is competitive from really week one, even though they didn't play well against Commanders, but it's a 4.5-month journey of playing games that matter. Think about what that does for the young quarterback and the locker room. And this is why, Sal, I was saying, and you know, my mind was wandering as they're up 19-0. I'm sitting there saying, all right, I told Sal this yesterday. Miami's getting spanked. The Saints stink. Whether it's Waddle, whether it's Olave, I really think that the Giants, before they blew the game, we're really going to go out there and get a wide receiver. I still think that they should, because I think that, you know, I think that the quarterback Jets earned it. I think that the locker room has shown enough where they deserve it. And it's another little, you know, asset so that when we get to, not that we're at 2026 yet, but when you get there, you know more about this team and what you have to do in the offseason. Yeah. They got a lot going for them.
Yeah, adding a wide receiver will help Jackson Dart here. And again, the remainder of this season is going to primarily be about evaluating Dable and Dart together, and maybe even more so just Dable, because that Dable and Dart had success in Denver, but they didn't figure out a way to win a game. That's going to be on the head coach. We know the quarterback's not going anywhere. So I'm sure that that will be the bulk of the remaining of this season for once and for all evaluating Brian Dable here. But the season's not over yet. And even with the bad loss and the result, to me, those first three quarters, the way the Giants played in that game was more encouraging moving forward and proved me wrong. I didn't think that they could do that yet. I didn't think that they were there at that level yet to go on the road in that environment and compete at that level. Now, they lost the game, but even though the result was not favorable, the one that was expected if you thought Denver was going to win the game didn't play out that way. The Giants, to me, showed a lot more in that loss than they've shown in some wins in recent years. So I think it's possible.
That's true.
I think it's possible they could beat the Eagles here. And I don't know where I'm going to go yet as far as picking them. Yeah, I mean, think about it.
That is a true statement.
Well, even in the playoff year, right? We got excited about the playoff year, but we knew that it was never really legitimate. The hope was that, okay, well, in year one, Dable can turn things around with Daniel Jones, and now in year two, take another step, throw the ball down the field, you know, actually throw the ball down the field, open things up a little bit more. That never came to fruition. That never happened, and obviously things only regressed. This is different. This is real. You already beat the Chargers. You beat the Super Bowl champion Eagles. You could have easily beaten the Broncos on the road, the best defense in the NFL right now. So for me, there are real reasons to believe in it. Now, again, we'll find out what happens Sunday, and the Eagles are getting hotter, and they look better against Minnesota. I'm sure they're going to be looking for revenge on the Giants and looking to send a message. This, to me, now will definitively be the game that defines this season. Not Dable and Dart.
Yeah.
Not next year. Not, knocking the Giants back down to earth. This season, as far as this season goes, even at 2-5, there's still an outside chance if they beat the Eagles on Sunday.
See, I wonder where the Giant fan is today, because you think about the 24 hours of emotion, right? And during the Denver game, it's primarily they're euphoric. You know, I know that they're thinking playoffs. I know that they're thinking trades. I know that they're thinking, you know, they're thinking big things. And why wouldn't you? Because the Giants gave you, you know, 2 hours plus of reason to think big. And then they collapse. And then the euphoric, you know, that incredible high, that wave that Giant fans have been desperate to get back on, now it goes to despondency. And that, I mean, that's a flip. So today, to me, is like the real field of the Giant fan. The euphoric, you know, buzz is gone. The despondency should be dissipating. Now it should be back to a practical take on this team. That's what I think. Because, you know, during the game, we're not reasonable. We're not logical for the most part. After the game, we're not reasonable. We're not logical. I would be surprised. I know we'll get these calls here, obviously. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. I would be surprised if the Giant fan today doesn't come across as resilient, encouraged, not happy with the loss, but still big picture feeling good about this team. They should.
You know, and thinking back to it, too, remember we were talking, we'll have Brian Baldinger on a little bit later. We'll get into the Knicks and some baseball stuff as well, maybe a little Jets as well. You know, looking back at the beginning of the season and thinking, where can Jackson Dart start and the soft landing spots and this and that, the one thing I would not have done is have him play against the Eagles and then have to go into Denver and then again Philadelphia. And obviously he's the starter long before that. And so far, to me, even with the interception, even with not being able to get a first down there on those final two drives, whatever it may be, you know, a pass interference, whatever, down the field, it was a success, more so than you could ever have asked for a rookie quarterback. Now, you can maybe get excited about what you saw in the preseason, certainly what you saw in fill-in spots and then against the Chargers in his first official start. But to think that this would happen against the Eagles and then in Denver, I think that is as good as anybody could have hoped for. And now, after this weekend, like, they're going to be through the most, to me, most difficult part. Niners aren't easy, Bears aren't easy, Packers, Lions, and so on. Patriots not going to be easy. But moving forward, regardless of the result, this is a great thing to have Jackson Dart experience this now as opposed to waiting and maybe having this experience next year. Like, he's gone through he's going through the gauntlet right now, and he's passing with flying colors.
He hasn't looked overwhelmed at all.
Right.
Matter of fact, like, You know, I remember young quarterbacks and a couple of guys that come to name, like Mac Jones, come to mind. Mac Jones, when he was drafted, clearly overdrafted, not a good athlete, average arm talent. But you could see, and I remember watching him against the Jets, obviously, a couple times early. I'm like, this guy's not that good at all. I didn't even like him in college. But you could tell that they were kind of working around some of his athletic deficiencies. The thing that's pretty apparent to me with Jackson Dart is there's nothing he can't handle. He can handle a playbook. He can handle going on the road against better teams that have already been. Broncos were a playoff team a year ago, so Philly champions. I mean, he just doesn't seem, overwhelmed. And that's why, for me, and some others are saying, put him in week one, put him in week two. You and I weren't saying that because I was trying to protect him. I wanted a softer landing, right, admittedly. Right. That's why I kept saying the Saints are in Chicago week 10, week 11, whatever it is. He has already proven that he is so resilient. And so far ahead of what we thought, he's got the whole package. Now it's up to the Giants to properly insulate him with the things that you need. You know, young players to eventually become MVPs and champions, and who knows if that's his path, but you can't say that it's not, and that's the best part of the season.
BT and Sal and the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Steven is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Steven?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I needed a day before I could just reach out to you guys. That was tough yesterday, Sunday. Guys, I know you just mentioned a wide receiver. How about a general manager going out and finding a professional kicker, someone that could kick the ball and where we don't have these issues anymore? Mm. We are a professional NFL team. Tell me if I'm wrong that I watch the NFL everywhere. Guys that make it 60 yards, 50 yards. You know what's going to happen next week? You know what my nightmare is? When they drive down to Philly on, the fourth quarter with 30 seconds left, and you're asking this kid to make a 47-yarder in that pressure to win the game?
They can't. There's no way they could trot him out there again, Steven. And thank you for the call. We appreciate checking in. Look, I get it. And those are the little things. Like, we could talk about Jackson Dart and be excited, but those are the little things that are preventing the Giants from winning. And it's happened for years. That's why we talked about it yesterday. Whether it's Dable, whether it's Shane, they could minimize those things or overlook those things. Specifically kicker in this particular conversation here.
Yeah.
You can't overlook that and expect to get away with winning. Like, you can't get away with not having a kicker and win football games. You're not that good, period. And you're certainly not good enough to overcome not having a kicker. And that's been proven over the last couple of years.
We can sit here and complain about the kicker having too much juice on the outcome, which I've said many times, but it doesn't matter until they change the rules or until the actual impact of the kicker is minimized. You better get yourself a kicker. Now, the problem with the kickers, and I said this yesterday, obviously there's year-to-year volatility, all right? Kind of like bullpens. We were talking about that. But the other thing, too, like if you want to get a corner or a rusher or a receiver, whatever, any position, really, the tape is much easier to identify because you can tell speed and disengagement. It's very hard. I'm not excusing the Giants. They got to find one. Most good teams do, but like, here's the way it goes. All right, we need a kicker. Bring in these three guys who are on the street, bring them to the facility, not an ounce of pressure. Here's the snap. If it's even snapped, it might be off a tee, and let's see who looks the best. And at that point, it's like taking batting practice off a 70-mile-per-hour fastball for a minor leaguer who's trying to get a job as the fourth outfielder. They're going to smoke the ball. I mean, so any kicker with no pass rush and not 90,000 people screaming at them, they are going to look functional. I think it's, in a crazy way, it's probably the hardest tape to identify, but that's their job. They got to get one.
And there's no way they can let this kid again kick this weekend or really ever again for them. Tyler's calling from New Windsor. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What up, Tyler?
The other guy said, I got to take a day and really look at it, but I'm big on you're talking about the season outcome and looking at what you can kind of take from this. I think you do go get a wide receiver. I mean, a guy who's under contract control. You also don't get rid of Dable. And I think you really have to put this loss on Shane Bowen. Defensively, they fell apart. I mean, Deontay Banks is just giving up on plays. He's done this 3 weeks in a row now. You can see it on the tip ball in the end zone.
Yeah,
another
Phillips
one against
got
the Eagles.
Phillips got beat, too. I know. Well,
yeah, it's
just
not
Banks.
1,000%. And it's not just Bowen either. But look, I mean, we went over this yesterday, Tyler. Like, you're a Giant fan. You're not excited about the idea that they could potentially sweep the Eagles here on Sunday?
Oh, I don't think anybody's not excited about that if you're a Giants fan. We've been waiting to beat the Eagles for how long? Not in a Week 18 game, that doesn't mean anything. when they're sitting all their starters.
Right, but
I can't tell you the last time we beat the Eagles.
No, it was last Thursday. And thank you for the call.
I think you meant swept them. I don't even know.
Maybe a little confusion there. Well, no, I still get the frustration. Obviously, we took calls all day yesterday for 4 hours about the loss on Sunday. Today, and you could still call and be mad at Dable or Bowen or whatever the case may be. I would. Tuesday, new week. Like, that's it.
We played got to move forward.
Played the Monday night games last night. It's on a week 8, and the season is still there. Now, one of the reasons why it's so fragile is because of Shane and Dable not addressing the kicker situation, not managing the game properly. This has happened multiple times over, and the difference in their season could, in fact, come down to what happened in week 2 and what happened in week 7.
Yeah.
And that's not acceptable.
It's not.
But we have the rest of the season to continue to evaluate Dable once and for all.
But here's my issue with one of the points the last caller made. He said, you know, Dable's got to stay, it's on Bowen. Okay. But this goes back to the conversation that Sal and I had yesterday. If you guys missed it, because I don't want to get back into it now. The Free Odyssey app. The short version, though, is this already happened against Dallas. You're the head coach. You're the CEO. You can delegate until somebody shows the inability to do the job that you're delegating them to do. And that's why I would have fired Bowen. That's a different kind. I'm not even trying to get into that conversation. If you guys want to, that's fine. But I cannot exonerate Dable. He is the head coach. At the end of the day, buck stops with him. He's in charge of everything. And the coordinator was in a coma again. A football coma. That's on Dable.
And it was more than just the coaching. Obviously, the coaching was a big part of that. I thought it was a poorly coached, certainly fourth quarter. But it was more than just that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
We'll get into the Knicks, maybe a little Jets, some baseball stuff as well. We were just talking about during the break, and I'm like, man, wow, no games tonight. And then you reminded me the NBA starts up tonight. Now, honestly, with the NBA, maybe I'll put it on. I couldn't care less about around the league outside of what's going on with the Knicks. So we'll be locked in the Knicks tomorrow. But, you know, no baseball games tonight. Obviously, no football with the two Monday night games tonight. But the NBA, perfect timing starting their season, BT, and away we go.
It's early. Yeah, I remember years ago, I don't know why this one stands out, but it was Halloween. It was was that 97? When did the Knicks trade for Larry Johnson? Hold on, they traded Mace for Johnson. And I remember it was the same night as Halloween. And
I think it was before the 96 season, if I'm not mistaken.
No. May have been 96 or 97. I could be off a year on that. But it was just, I remember we had a Halloween party, and it was a Knick party, too. It is a little bit early, and each year it gets earlier and earlier. But, you know, I'll parachute into some. LeBron's hurt, so he's not even playing tonight. You got the Thunder, you got the Rockets, you got the Warriors, you got the Lakers.
So Warriors are playing the Lakers?
Warriors at Lakers.
Okay.
Rockets, Thunder.
Okay, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, listen, what's happening, it's an interesting transition where these players are getting older. Steph's getting older, LeBron's getting older, KD's getting older, Harden's getting older, so there's a transition here
now.
Yeah,
no, I get it, and my focus and our focus is going to be primarily on the Knicks, so we'll get into that a little bit later on. Something I saw yesterday that was not encouraging, actually two things that happened yesterday of note, which we'll get to that in a half hour. Let's continue with the Giants stuff here, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the fan. Justin calling from Burlington Township. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Sal, how are you?
Good, what's up?
BT.
Hey.
Good. Quick question, Sal. You said that the Giants' defense is ready to help this team win now.
Well, they are built to win now. Yes.
Okay. So my question to you is if they're built to win now, how did they give up 33 points in one quarter?
Yeah, I mean, they're either not good enough or they're not being coached properly, a combination of a lot of things. Also, Denver's pretty good. So you guys can dismiss Denver all you want, but Denver's a good team. I'm not saying that. Now, Justin, there's a difference between saying that they're a great defense and saying that that defense is put together to have success and win football games now. Make no mistake about it.
Which I agree, Sal. And listen, they had a lot of injuries throughout the game. Holland went out. Adebo went out. The other point I want to make, too, is I have a question, at least from the coaching staff perspective, is if the Giants aren't going to start or at least not dress Evan Neal, who's, he's obviously a bust, but in the interior offensive lineman, and they'd rather play or dress Stinney ahead of him, if Van Rotten is injured or has to play center or something to that effect, why wouldn't you do the same thing with Banks for as bad as he's been and play Nick Jones or Art Green in front of him? Because if he's unplayable as he is, why are you even putting him in the game?
Because he's not as bad as Neal. I mean, that's the simple, like, he's better at his job than Evan Neal is, who is atrocious.
Yeah, I mean, look, Justin, we could question it. I don't have the answer to that. We would also say, well, why the hell are you going with that kicker instead of Koo? Like, there are a lot of things that don't make sense to us, and I'm sure that they have their reasons. They're not going to answer them directly, but you could just do the math and say that for whatever reason, they believe that Deontay Banks, for example, is better off in that spot to help them win football games than the next guy up.
Absolutely. They tried out the kicker who's now kicking for Green Bay, who's 7-for-7 and kicked a 60-yard field goal yesterday.
Yeah, it doesn't make any... So now, and then I ask you, Justin, before we let you go, whose fault do you think that is? Whose responsibility is that?
Well, that's going to be on coaching staff and management.
Yeah,
if you're looking at... I don't understand if you see a guy and you say he can kick, and you say, okay, it just seems like, okay, he can kick, but we don't want him.
It's on Joe Shane.
You're going to sign a kid from you're going to sign a rookie who can't make an extra point, or two extra points for that matter.
Makes no sense. And rely on Gano. And thank you for the call, Justin. Good stuff there. That's on Shane and Dable. I mean, Shane really, but I'm assuming he's getting its collaborative effort with Dable, whatever. It just can't happen. So the Deontay Banks thing is weird because a couple years ago I thought he was showing promise in one of the good corners.
Then it was.
Last year he was a disaster, and now again this year. Look, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it doesn't make any sense to us watching these games. Like, why would you have Deontay Banks out there? Why would you have this kid who couldn't even kick at Rutgers successfully? Why would he be in the NFL? Why would you rely again on Graham Gano? It doesn't make any sense, but they're supposed to be the experts, and they know, but yet the results are showing that maybe they don't know.
They make these decisions. We react to how these players play. And, you know, a couple of observations for me. You talk about Banks, starting to like what I'm seeing from Flott on a week-to-week basis. Yeah. He's showing he belongs. Now, he's young. He's going to be really good. I did think Abdul Carter would be wrecking some games by now. Haven't really seen that. And, you know, anybody want to say it? I guess I will. Dexter Lawrence getting a little lazy with that contract. What is Dexter Lawrence doing?
Hey, we'll ask Baldy.
What is he doing?
We could ask Baldy more about that. I know I think he was banged.
He was on him. Remember
early on, but I think he was banged up, Dexter. I think he was banged up. Now, again, I don't know. We'll see what Baldy says about it, how the film has looked the last couple of weeks.
And I'll always lean on the film with somebody who played and studies that for a living here, and he knows a lot more than I do, obviously. But, you know, there was a point when people were just freely throwing around, Dexter Lawrence, best interior D lineman in football. People were saying that. No, he's not.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
I'm not going to comment on that myself. I don't think he's as bad as maybe you're making it sound.
I'm not
right
saying
now.
He's bad, but I'm saying you're supposed to be dominant with that contract. Yeah. I mean, this guy was feeling the love from everybody, and he earned it. But since he got the contract, you know, he has not been quite the same player. He's just not making the impact.
Well, I mean, do you think Kayvon Thibodeau is? And people could talk about, well, he's having a good year. Is he?
Well, yes. I mean, better than I'll put it this way with Kayvon, because we talked a lot about Kayvon, obviously, on the show. Kayvon Thibodeau has become better than I thought he was early.
Yeah.
He's become a little more stout against the run, a little more physical.
Okay.
And he's also not on a second contract. There's a difference, like, drafting somebody in the first round, even if it's top 10, and they are maybe like a B-ish. I'm just throwing out a grade for Kayvon early. and then maybe they become a B. Like, that's one level of evaluation for me compared to somebody like Lawrence, who was also a first-round pick and then got a King's Ransom as a second-round pick and is going backwards.
I think it's easy to pick on the secondary. And by the way, I like Drew Phillips as a player. The problem is in coverage, he's no good. Like, he's better in the box. To me, he's a tough physical player. I know Tiki was getting on him for taking it easy on one of those key plays there down the stretch. Fair enough. But for me, I like Drew Phillips as a player. I just don't love him in coverage, which is obviously a problem if you're in the secondary. But has Abdul Carter lived up to the expectations so far?
No.
Okay, no, me neither. I don't think Kayvon Thibodeau has lived up to or certainly exceeded the expectations. Dexter Lawrence, Baldy got on him earlier on in the season, so you could say no to that as well. The only guy to me that has lived up to or exceeded expectations is Brian Burns.
He's been great for the first snap of the season.
I mean, Okereke's doing his job. Like, there are other guys that are doing that are solid and sound. You mentioned Flott. Like, we could talk about the Giants secondary a little bit. Holland, you know, fine. But those guys, the game wreckers, I have not seen enough of that game wrecking from that defense with the Giants. And a part of that could also be the scheme by Bowen just being conservative by nature, which is also an issue. John is calling from Valley Stream. What's up, John?
Akata, BT, how we doing, boys?
What's up, Johnny?
Hey, John.
I gave it a day. I gave it a day, and it's not getting any easier. And I keep replaying in my head. You know, you get a song stuck in your head, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, the old Wide World of Sports song.
Yeah.
It won't get out of there. How Joe Shane has got two Scottish kickers on the roster, and neither one of them can kick. And I got to listen to this guy after the game. Well, I got to own it. I missed it. I got to own it. You shied away from the goalpost where you shied away from. I can't.
Yeah, but John, hold on. John, one thing. Just, and here's one silver lining. If a rugby match breaks out, Giants are in good shape.
Oh, thank God. Thank God for that. I mean, just walk over to Don Bosco and grab that kicker, for goodness sake.
Bosco, yeah. Or Bergen Gatlin.
It is justified anger, John, because it arguably cost you a game, and it cost you games before with this regime. And these
in multiple seasons.
Agreed, and they're too valuable. You can't. It's one thing if it's year two and you're like, all right, well, it sucks, but you hope he learns from that. But there's going to become a year where you got to start winning games. The time is now. There's no excuse. This is no more about next year. It should be right now with Jackson Dart that the Giants should be winning these games, and they've given up two of them already this year.
Giving them away. And then that brings us to now to the coaches. You got Dable. Listen, I think we got to get Jackson Dart away from Dable. I mean, Bowen, we know, is an idiot. Okay, we know this. But he's the head coach. You don't see that he doesn't have Dexter Lawrence and Abdul Carter on the field, and he's dropping eight into coverage. At what point do you go over and say, hey, Skippy, what are you doing, fella? What are we doing here?
I think you got a lot to be pissed off at today, John. Yeah, I appreciate it. We both do. That is a good call. Yeah, so listen, this is not about the Jets, but just a bridge to get into follow-up what John just said. So I started the Jets pod on Killable Sunday, and I wasn't even angry. Like, I really wasn't, because to me, if you don't have real expectations, why are you getting angry? And the analogy that I use a few times, like, if I'm a 23 handicap and I shoot a 101, what the hell am I pissed at? I stink. So take it, right? The difference with the Giants is that you should be angry while also appreciative of the future and all the things we talk about, because it's the same mistakes. Whether you drop an eight, whether you can't find the kicker, whether you ignore the kicker spot, those are things that would legitimately infuriate me. And not just the day of. I get that, John. I can see why that's seeping into today. I respect it.
Well, look, they're supposed to be winning. So we can get caught up in Jackson Dart and excited about that, which we are. And rightfully so. Like, I understand Giant fans want to be excited about Dart and the future and all that stuff. But they should be winning now. This is year four with this regime. They brought in the veteran quarterback. They went 0-3 to start. They make the decision to go with Jackson Dart. They're still 2-5. Like, they played seven games. They've lost five of them. It's not good any which way you slice it. And it should definitively be better, if not in just the fact that one game, you should never blow the game that they did on Sunday. So it's hard to move on from that. You have to hope, and this is the hope that I have, that the worst is now officially behind them, meaning even coughing up that game. I'm not just talking about the years or the weeks where you go into the game being like, Giants have no chance, they can't move the football. We know that those are over. That was over with the definitive win against the Eagles on Thursday night last week, okay? Now it should be about, okay, clean up the mess, that the little things that continue to cost them football games. If they don't do that, then the coaching staff should be fired. And I believe that they will be fired. But you got to clean that stuff up. But with all that being said, go beat the Eagles this week and season back on 3-5. There is still an outside chance to salvage what's left of the season, meaning the results to potentially get sneak into the postseason with maybe 9 wins.
And that's the tone of the show. I don't think that they get there. I understand what you're saying. I just think they're going to lose probably this week, and unfortunately, I don't think they win enough games to get there.
My gut's saying that too, by the way.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. And listen, this is a day to lean into some positivity. They gave us 3 quarters of really good football. We get it. They imploded. But the harsh reality is this. You talk about they played 7, you know, lost 5. I'm looking at the NFC standings. There's 16 teams. They're in 15th place.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so you got to balance like what the future could be versus some of the good of this year versus some of the gut-wrenching of this year. It is not easy, but I'll tell you this, like, if they lose the amount of games that I think that they will lose this year, with all due respect, I'm just not bringing back Dable. I love the quarterback. I'm finding myself a new coach.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I was begging the Mets to sign Springer. God forbid you get a center fielder. They needed a center fielder. This is 5 years ago, BT. They need, and there's receipts to prove it. They needed a center fielder. The guy was a proven commodity. I'm begging them to sign Springer. They had a shortstop at Andrés Giménez. Instead, they decided not to get Springer. And Andy Martino just wrote a column about this on SNY.TV, explaining why they didn't get Springer. Alderson apparently wanted Springer. They hired Porter and by the way, it said in the article that the Mets and Steve Cohen met with Theo Epstein. I don't remember that being the case. But whatever, maybe it was, and I forget about it. But this is when Cohen first took over the team as owner. Alderson was the president. They met with Theo Epstein, didn't see it a fit. They go on to hire Porter, who he got ousted real quick, and Zach Scott was the assistant, who then got bumped up. Alderson wanted Springer because he knew they needed a center fielder. He's from the area in Connecticut.
But UConn, I think, right?
Yeah,
Springer.
Whatever. He was interested. I know he's from Connecticut. I don't know where he went to school. Yeah. So, whatever. He was interested. The guy's a gamer, won the MVP of the World Series in 2017. Like, how could you not want a guy like that? And plus, you needed the center field. He only got $150 million over 6 years. Instead, Zach Scott and Porter suggested to Alderson that they go trade for Lindor. Alderson took their advice, like a good president should probably do, right? All right, I hired you guys to do a job. Sure, you want to go this way? Sure. They get Lindor, so they trade a cheaper shortstop, who's, by the way, been proven to be a good player. They don't get, I wanted Springer and Realmuto. They end up with Lindor. They pay Nimmo significantly more than they're paying Springer. I mean, you guys got to be kidding me. If I were in the front office, we'd already have a ring. Good God. You needed this, and you're still looking for a center fielder. You still don't have one all these years later. Holy cow, it's infuriating.
Well, you can root for Springer in the World Series. He'll deliver a chip for you.
I mean,
take half of it.
What an awesome
He's a baller,
moment.
Man.
Yeah, he's always been.
I think he played, because I remember talking to Maz about this. I'm pretty sure Springer played collegiately with Lee's son at UConn.
Oh, okay.
Who was also a high draft pick. I think maybe a first or a second rounder. Yeah, Springer's a ball player. We use the term ball player.
$150 million, dude. Six rounds. Got 8 for 180. What? Like, what are we? Who are you kidding?
He's tough. He can hit. He's got wheels. He's an energy guy. Big. I'm a fan because he's a Blue Jay, but. Big time ball player, no doubt.
And congratulations are in order. I was almost going to start the show with that, but I know we wanted to talk some football here. Congratulations
for what?
you finally got to see Donnie baseball get to the World Series.
I saw that, and I can't, how do I react to that, man? You know, I don't want to say it means nothing because I love Mattingly, and I just want him to be happy.
Yeah.
But he's wearing the wrong uniform. He's not even the manager. He's not playing. Like, does that, so from
it should have been with the Yankees, dude. That's the, whether it be as a player or as a manager. But the Yankees didn't want that. They don't want him.
And I don't think that they want Posada. And I don't think that they want the old guard hanging around for whatever stupid reason. I'd like them to get over that. But if you're Mattingly and the quest to, you know, finally get to the playoffs as a player, which he finally did, would have been there in 94, the strike, 95, got there, hit 417. We know what happened. Retires, Tito comes in, they win. But when you're, you know, a 60-whatever-year-old coach, this doesn't scratch the itch of getting to the World Series, does it?
No, I couldn't disagree more. Think about it.
I'm just thinking of me,
okay,
like,
yeah, but
as
think
a
about
player.
It. Put yourself in his spot. Okay, there's only so much you could do as a player, right? We know his career as a player. Great player. Unfortunately, didn't happen. And that's something that's going to bother you forever, especially when you leave and they go on to have a dynasty years later. But still, as a baseball lifer, even being a manager, whatever, you know what I mean, with the Dodgers, with the Marlins, being a coach, maybe toward the end, at least experiencing being in the World Series and being a part of it and having that patch on your uniform or hat, like, he's gonna partake in the World Series. That's
a huge deal. I guess I don't look at it that way, but that's a pretty sensible way to look at it. I mean, he's a baseball man. So for a baseball man to finally get there, even if he's not batting third, playing first base. Now, my point was it's not the same. I marginalized it to the point where it meant nothing.
I'm not saying it's the same.
Yeah, I can respect that.
You know
I mean,
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
baseball
I can.
Life or just
I can.
To be in the World Series.
I can respect that.
You know
that.
What I'm saying? Especially a guy who was as good as he was and on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately.
Let's go Dodgers.
It should be. I'm rooting for the Dodgers, too.
Yeah, I can't have Toronto win. You can't.
I think we're going to be in the minority here, though.
I mean, I don't worry about who I'm going to root for. I can't have the Toronto Blue Jays win a World Series before the Yankees.
Because of the Yankee trash talking on?
Well, just
who
because they're in the division.
The Blue Jays, it's been 32 years, about time.
Touch like them all, Joe.
Yeah, their fans are taking bows like, oh, okay, big deal. You're going to get squashed by the Dodgers anyway. Taking bows, you made it to the World Series. That's great. I did feel bad for Seattle, though. Because think about this game for Seattle. You have a 2-0 lead. You've never been to a World Series, and then in Game 7, your stars, both Rodriguez and Cal Raleigh, go deep. You're up 3-1 late.
Stuff.
Oh, dude, that is bad.
That's
a brutal loss.
You go Kirby, you go Woo. That's a tough one. I mean, imagine, and they were showing videos of one of the bars in Seattle, I think when they were up 3-1. Was it after Raleigh's home run? Could you imagine never, and the key thing is never having been there.
Never gotten to
you're
a
in
World
a bar,
Series
here
before.
We go, this is game our year,
seven,
let's go.
As far as they've ever been, up 3-1, your star's doing the job.
Yeah, never even a game seven, as you said before. Never a game seven.
Oh,
that's, I don't recover
sports,
from that.
Sports fandom, dude.
Yeah, they lost the Sonics.
That's torture, man. That is torture. All right, BT and Sal, the fan, will come back, reset, get back to your Giants calls here. Also working the Knicks ahead of their season opener tomorrow. Some interesting comments from a former player of Mike Brown about the new head coach of the Knicks. We'll get to that. 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.